College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up?
Happy Thursday, day number two of Bills training camp, getting underway at St. John Fisher. It is expected to be a hot one today, so if you are out there, stay cool the best you can. If you're not, well, stay cool the best you can.
Friend of the program, Pat Hammer, WGRZ, sending out the map earlier this morning of like what it's going to feel like today. Near 100 degrees in plenty of places. So
yeah, the sun.
Ice cream is great.
For 5 minutes before it melts in that weather. Before we get fully going today, do want to remind you that training camp coverage at St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorney, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We now go to the Western Hotline to get our day started, because live from practice, Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Great. I love it. I love it. I had to get it out there and get going here. I had a bit of a challenging morning myself. I had told the story on the radio, but we can all relate to this, right? Which is, I got my coffee in my dorm, I had my nice coffee. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get on the radio. But, you know, I said, oh, I got to get my credentials in my car. So I had to make sure I went to my car, to the parking lot, walk over there, and I put the coffee in the cup on top of the car, on the roof.
You know what I mean? Oh, no.
Yeah. Then when I shut the door, the coffee fell down and went all over the car and a little bit on me. And I'm like, come on, it's going to be that kind of day. But then I thought about it and said, you know, I'm an internally optimistic guy. You guys know that about me. I'm just optimistic and I'm positive. And I said, you know what? The day can only get better from here. So that's the attitude I'm taking as I come out to practice.
There we go.
That is right. That is right. It's so early in the morning. You're like, it actually only can get better.
Yeah, this is a putrid start. We cannot do much worse than this, so we're not going to.
And as I say, the day can only get better. Good news for the Buffalo Bills. Dawson Knox not practicing, but he is out here with the team. We didn't see him at all yesterday. I do see him today walking with the trainers in street clothes. So that's good news for the Buffalo Bills tight end, who's on the non-football injured list with a hamstring injury.
Fantastic. Sal, before we jump into today, we were kind of talking as practice was getting going yesterday. Of course, I think went for like the next hour or so. What were some of your big takeaways from day one? Of course, no pads and kind of more like, you know, it's syllabus week really for the Bills at St. John Fisher.
Well, I think the number one takeaway that when you first got here was what was going to happen with James Cook. And the takeaway is James Cook wants to be here. He wants to be a good teammate. He's not going to let the contract situation distract him. The Bills aren't going to let that happen. And thankfully, it won't happen because James Cook is a part of this team. And it becomes a non-story at this point until it might at some point, you know, during the season when we start talking about this thing. So that was number one. But then you get on the field and you watch the guys play. And I think the biggest storyline, and I wrote about this at WGR550.com, the starting cornerback competition is starting. Like, it's going right now. And you could see that Tre'Davious White, I think I was talking with you guys a little bit, that Tre'Davious was taking some first-team reps, and then they would mix in Max Harrison. But, boy, the rookie looked really good to me, guys. The rookie looked really good. He made a couple really nice plays on the ball, one on Curtis Samuel, actually not on the ball itself, but he made a great job. He did a great job to tackle Samuel and ride him out of bounds before he was able to turn up field, which could have been a touchdown down in the red zone period. That's what they did a lot of, was red zone yesterday. And then the play of the day, and the Bills tweeted the highlight of this through their video over at their Buffalo Bills Twitter feed, was a ball that looked like it was going to be an easy catch for KJ Hamler towards the back of the end zone. And here comes Max Harrison out of nowhere. He's not even in your screen. Makes a play to knock it down. That's the kind of athleticism, speed, change of direction that this team is hoping for from the first-round rookie. But look, I mean, he's got to win this job. If he wants to take it, he can take it. He can win it. That doesn't have to be because Tre'Davious White doesn't play well. It just might mean that Max Harrison does so much so well that they say we can't, we got to keep him on the field.
Sal, when it comes to it with Trey White, with Harrison, but also something that you had on the website as well, not necessarily regarding the competition, but Tre'Davious White's infectious personality, once again back at Bills camp after a year away, and we all see the video of Uncle Trey with Deion Dawkins' family and everything like that. It does feel like it's a good feeling at minimum to have Tre'Davious White back in the Bills uniform.
I was talking with Dave Naylor, who covers the team for TSN up in Canada, and he comes down. He's a Bills reporter here, and we were standing on the sidelines watching, and he said, you know, Sal, he said, it doesn't matter what sport, whether it's football, hockey, baseball, basketball. He said, I can't remember and know of any team that so many guys come back after they leave. And I think that's right, right? And Tre'Davious White is kind of the headliner for that this year, which is this is a guy that was gone for 1 year, a couple of stints. He was with, obviously, the Rams and the Ravens. And then, bam, you know, he shows up here and he comes back. He re-signs as an unrestricted free agent. And his personality is infectious. His persona around the team, that he is so beloved and so loved by his teammates, by his coaches, the people who have been here, by the fan base. And I think that really came out yesterday. You saw that video you were just talking about with him and obviously Deion Dawkins. So, yeah, I just love to see that. And I'll tell you from our standpoint, from a media standpoint, Trey, it was tough when he was hurt. We really didn't hear from him. And obviously he was going through a lot. You know, mentally it was very tough on him. When Tre'Davious White is feeling good about himself and he's out here playing football, he's a super awesome guy to talk to and have fun with from a media standpoint as well.
Yeah, I think most of us have heard that about Trey. It's just he is like that guy that you kind of want to be around. And I would imagine for a certain age group of Bills fans, Trey White might be one of your favorite Bills of all time. Of course, we all kind of remember the play where he picks up the play sheet and is looking at it because of the wind. And like, and you kind of become famous. For me, Sal, too, I always get a little nervous sometimes when the players do come back because you're oftentimes not getting the guy that first showed up here. But it was really encouraging yesterday to hear that Trey White, at least from reports I was seeing yesterday, looked really good. And then you're also seeing Harrison make the play of the day. And you know, looking to last year with Rasul Douglas and eventually Kyer Elam, they had a real weakness at CB2. They could have a really good problem here if, while yes, they have the number one, you know, or the first round pick in Harrison with the crazy trait that he has with his speed. Be awesome, though, if Trey White goes back to somewhat of what he used to be in Buffalo.
No doubt about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anybody's expecting Trey White to be all-pro Trey from a few years ago. But, boy, I think, and the Bills have indicated this, that they really liked his progression when he went from the Rams to the Ravens and where he was by the end of the year. Was he a lockdown corner? No. But, he was getting significant time. Remember, he had a penalty against the Bills in the playoff game against the Ravens. He was covering Keon Coleman. He was on the field, though, guys. He was playing for a team and playing significant snaps for a team that was one of the top teams in the AFC and has Super Bowl aspirations. I think that says a lot about where Tre'Davious White still is in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking to today, though, we did hear from Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, and at least from what I heard, one of the main characters of that was Keon Coleman, and he is absolutely somebody. I know me and Derek read some tweets yesterday from some listeners as well that's one of the storylines a lot of fans are keeping on. It is really just Keon Coleman as a whole. What kind of step forward he takes in year two?
Yeah, for sure. Keon Coleman is a really important player for the Buffalo Bills this year. We know that. Going into his second year, they expect that jump. But they also know that, you know, last year, because he didn't come back from that injury the way that everybody expected him to, hoped him to, and wanted him to, we know that from the way that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both spoke about Keon, which is, you know, he needed to kind of be better coming back from that. But that happens with young players. They don't know how to deal with injuries early on in their career. He's never had a significant injury like that. And, you know, he showed up, I would say, bigger and stronger in OTAs and minicamp. He stayed around in Buffalo. Same thing with Dalton Kincaid. They're both in the same boat in this regard for a couple of different reasons, but kind of in the same boat. So, yeah, he has an opportunity here in Buffalo to be a very, very key member and key piece to what they do at wide receiver. I really like what Joe Brady said about Keon Coleman. If you're coming out here and you're watching him, he said, really, when the pads come on is when you get the separation for wide receivers because of the physicality. Out here, guys, in shorts and t-shirts, that's not Keon Coleman's game, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
His game is going to be when it's more physical, and you know, guys try to put hands on him, and they can't do that. And I would caution anybody coming out to training camp, don't judge anything about Keon Coleman the first few days. Let's wait till the pads come on, and he can get a little bit more physical, and guys start to get physical with him, and that's how you're going to see Keon Coleman in his truest form.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Wester Hotline from training camp. After day one, Sal, we had a couple of injuries. Laviska Shenault being put on the non-football injury list, for example, though, it does look like the Bills might be trotting out a cavalcade of players to try to see who might fit with kick and punt returns, including what looked like visuals from earlier this morning right now, Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir fielding punts.
Yeah, well, that's something they're going to do a lot of, and they did last year. If you remember last year in the playoffs, remember Khalil Shakir did return the punts in the games. Keon Coleman took reps. He did it in college a little bit. He took reps in those spots. So, yeah, that's something you're going to see some of. Guys rotating in and out, like you just said. Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, whoever it is, getting opportunities to punt a little bit. Sorry as I walk, guys, a little bit windy. If you pick that up, my apologies. I'm trying to walk from one field to the other to watch what's going on. I'm watching. Keon Coleman actually just caught a pass right here, a little slant pattern. They're doing a little bit of just quarterback throwing to wide receivers. But you're right, Laviska Shenault on the injured list now and with the lower leg injury. And then Dawson Knox is out here working with trainers. That's a good sign. Cedric Van Perren Granger. I haven't seen Cedric Van Perren Granger. He's also a guy that's obviously out right now. He's on the PUP list along with Spencer Brown. And the Bills didn't seem too overly concerned about, you know, Spencer Brown or Dawson Knox and their injuries.
Sal, last thing for me, and speaking on injuries, right before we came on, there was some breaking news out of Jets camp. Quarterback Justin Fields. I'm going to put quotations around carded. That does not mean the same thing as it has in years past. That has now just become, it's the easier way to get a guy to the locker room, to the medical staff, so to check on him. But he did get carted off the field with an apparent lower leg injury. For a team that, you know, is not getting a lot of headlines, I mean, Aaron Glenn goes in there. I think he's really trying to fix the culture there. Fields, though, had a little bit of juice to him in terms of how exciting he could be. It just feels like another hit for Jets fans where it's just like, when is this going to end? I mean, as a Bills fan, kind of don't want it to, but I do love Fields.
I thought the same thing when I heard it from Joe this morning. I didn't know. He told me, and I thought the same thing, which is, boy, I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you're like, are you kidding me? Like, what's going on here? So you hope that Justin Fields is okay, seriously. Like, you just never want to see that with anybody, especially a young quarterback who did a nice job to kind of resurrect his career a little bit last year. The Jets are an interesting team. I don't think they have enough to compete with the Bills in the AFC East, but they have some talent. We know Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, you know, signed those extensions in the offseason. They're starting to pay their guys, their young guys. They want to keep them around. They just need that quarterback piece to hit, and it would be really, really shame if something were to happen to Justin Fields.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, we'll let you go. Go watch practice. If anything crazy happens, you do know where to find us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. The Keon Coleman thing that Sal brought up there is really, it's something to chew on a little bit.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because that's right. I mean, that's not his game. We say it all the time with the offensive line and the defensive line. Like, you kind of can't judge them outside of, like, maybe how quick they are until pads go on. And Keon Coleman not being really the smaller, you know, faster kind of receiver. Yeah, his 6'4", 220 frame kind of needs to wait for pads to go on before he can really show out.
And we'd mentioned it. Like, hand fighting is one of the few things that you can actually work on in camp without pads. But even then, it's not as physical either.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make sure you're, like, owning the space, that is something that pads aren't going to allow for as comfortably. Or no pads, I should say, as comfortably. I'm here for, let's get to the pop, let's get to the thuds, because then you get to see even more from certain players, and including the defensive line.
Yeah, that's a group that I'm
so curious
how they look.
I can't evaluate anything about them without pads on.
It really is like, do they look quick and are they, like, slim or bigger? Like, that's
it.
All you've got.
But that's an appetizer. That's just a small taste of their power. No, I need to see them in those one-on-ones with the drills, with those pads on. Come on.
It's even
or stuff even the team blocking schemes.
Well, team blocking schemes, but that's the thing. Like, Spencer Brown is down right now, so they're rotating offensive linemen at right tackle. Right now, it appears to be Ryan Vandermark. Yesterday, it was Tylan Grable. You can't really get a good gauge on either of them with Brown out. So, like,
right.
Yeah, sure, they're picking up reps, and that absolutely is true, and they are quality, but there's a ceiling there for them until pads go on. And really the hope is that Brown's back by the end of the week, right? Because no one sounded that concerned
exactly
to anybody's injuries. So the hope is he's back even before pads come on. But then, yeah, like you look at some of the other guys that maybe were getting quality reps, there was a ceiling there. There was a limit to like how quality they could really be to actually see how much growth there is. But, I mean, it's kind of, you know, picking fights sort of with nothing. Like, I like this group. I'm excited to see what they look like. But I'm not overly, I'm not losing my patience yet in terms of, like, the pads not being on. That'll come quickly, but it's not – day two is not fast enough.
Yeah, day two is not fast enough for it. We need to see a little bit of that live action, a little bit of that thud, a little bit of that pop. That's all I want, mm-hmm. You know, like – That allows it to be this feel that football has more of a genuine feel to it.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show, give your thoughts on the start of training camp. Cornerback two might be maybe the most fun battle, though. And at least if signs early, day one, it genuinely could be fun. It may not be one of those camp battles where the winner wins out, but we're not sitting here kind of cheering. It's just more like, okay, that's who they're going to go with. I mean, if you're getting quality time from both Trey White and Max Harrison, and then you add on the experience from Trey White, the fact that he's not going to be asked to be CB1, that is going to be Christian Benford, or Max Harrison, okay, your first-round pick, you're kind of mm-hmm. hoping he hits to maybe make a perfect duo with Benford, and then you add in his elite trait that we saw yesterday. Sal brought it up, that play that kind of the Bills threw out there and sort of was the play of the day. Sal portrayed it perfectly. He's not in the frame, and then he is. And that's the closing speed. That's what he offers. It'll allow him to make maybe more mistakes in his rookie year, take more chances, because he has that catch-up speed. He can make up for some mistakes, some risks that he took. And that could
closing
be,
speed
yeah,
is
that
important.
Can be an exciting aspect of the Bills' defense, because I do think, to a certain extent, the Bills have been missing that pop in a lot of areas where Harrison could really add something there.
You know something from camp that always gets me giddy? Like you said yesterday, and I love it, that you're going to be irresponsible with any Elijah Moore videos.
Full blown, baby. It's all right.
I get giddy about players staying after practice mm-hmm. to work on more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you see this player's out on the field, Josh Palmer with Josh Allen.
Yeah, they stayed after yesterday.
He stayed after to work with Allen a little bit more. And then I see Dorian Strong working with Christian Benford.
That's very much your guy.
That's my guy.
That has become your guy.
That's become my guy. And he's going to need, like, players like that are going to need extra attention so that they can, you know, stand out. Find your way to stand out in training mm-hmm. camp. Find your way to steal snaps. Find your way to get a game day jersey.
Yeah.
Obviously, Palmer is a different class in this because it's about what is his fit on this team and how extensive are they using him. They have plans for this guy. Strong, with this cornerback room, do something to stand out. You have to. For Hancock, it's, hey, you're taking second team reps at nickel.
Yeah, your versatility is going to be
your biggest
asset. Your versatility
is your biggest asset. For Strong, it is he's working at gunner, and he is taking time after practice to work with Benford. You need to do something
mm-hmm.
with this cornerback room because of how deep it is. Everyone just conveniently forgets Dane Jackson's here too.
Yeah.
Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, these are guys that have been on this roster for years now.
Mm-hmm.
They will need to fight. There's going to be a lot of tough decisions made in the secondary. While it has the biggest amount of questions, it does seem to have the most amount of players that can vie for playing time. So yeah. Videos is one thing. You know, seeing the nice little plays. The Harrison breakup was a really nice one. For me, it's always going to be about what are players going to do to stand out? What mm-hmm. are players trying to do to find their way? What are players trying to do to expand on their role? Staying after practice, working with special teams. Coleman fielding punts to begin practice here today is very interesting to me.
And I like Sal that he brought that up too, that Coleman had done that in college.
Exactly.
For I think a lot of fans, you'll hear kickoff returners and punt returners, what's their 40 time? Like that, like who has right. the pop speed? Coleman is not that guy, but he has like the long stride speed. I mean, we all know like he got at the combine the miles per hour he was one of the top guys. Coleman did that at Florida State. I mean, he's an all-around athlete.
We all saw it with him a couple times last year.
Mm-hmm.
The play that gets him back in the Houston game is a yards after catch play where Coleman just storms his way down the field for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's the kind of player that you'd have fielding punts? Okay.
Right. That'll work.
That'll work for me. That works for me. And it makes sense Florida State used him in that way. Shakir, what more do we need to say about a slippery pinball than Khalil Shakir? Other than maybe not give him a couple extra opportunities to seek out contact.
When they initially drafted him, man, out of Boise State, I thought he was like a diet Deebo Samuel. Boise State was having him take handoffs out of the backfield. Like, he was doing everything for them. Yeah. I mean, the Bills, I think, have found the right way to use him, which is just as a traditional slot receiver with more yak ability. But when he was initially drafted, I was like, guys, he's a gadget player. He's going to do everything for you.
It seems like Khalil Shakir, though, also is a player that has not met contact that he doesn't like.
100%.
So if I've got that man bouncing off of a punt team, I'd get a little nervous eventually.
I mean, yeah, eventually. It's one of those things, though. Like, I've gotten there, and part of it, I think, is actually due to Josh Allen. I've stopped kind of worrying about it. Like, I just want your best ability. Like, whatever it is, I want your best plays. I don't want a guy who's going to be here maybe 5 extra years, but the 5 years just simply aren't the same.
Right.
Like, it's where I've gotten, obviously, with Allen of, like, I don't really want his rushing ability gone. Give me the 10 to 12 years of truly elite play rather than the 15 to 17 of, well, the last 5 years weren't great. But, you know, he was still here and he was still okay. Give me what they have now, and we'll worry about all that stuff later. GMs are already drafting 2, 3, 4 years in advance, so I'm okay with that. By the way, talking about a guy standing out, and we already mentioned his name, Palmer yesterday obviously stayed after with Allen. Today, Matt Bove tweeted about 20 minutes ago that Palmer was hanging out with McDermott.
Yep.
Talking it up, chatting it up. So that is definitely going on. Palmer, he's a guy – If you listen to Bean really talk at all this offseason anywhere, you kind of knew they had big plans for him. I'm just so curious to what those plans actually could materialize into. Like, what could he actually be? Is he a guy that has like a John Brown type season back from 2019 where just, hey, he was good, not great, gets though into the right system, gets into a right role with the right team, and all of a sudden, boom, he's a 1,000-yard guy, 85-catch guy, 6, 7 touchdowns, and you're like, he's not the best, but you can certainly win a Super Bowl with him. I think maybe the Bills might have that idea for him, because a lot of this group is the same of, hey, we really like John Brown. Really think this Josh Palmer guy can come in and kind of do something similar. Not the same guy,
right. But
something similar of, like, he can really break out here. And the problem with Brown was he just got old fast.
Yes.
I mean, he had about 2 really good years with the Bills, And his elite trait was how fast he was, and he got old fast. Palmer comes in at 25, 26 years old.
Right.
And they signed him to a 3-year deal. There's a feeling there of, if this works, we could have him for his prime.
We can have him here for at least a couple of years and get really good value out of it. And if that's the case, well, then down the road we kick the can and see what we have to do after the 3-year contract. But if they have big plans for him and he's able to live up to what they suspect
–
the offense could have an extra wrinkle of nasty to it.
Yep.
I do think that chemistry between Allen and Palmer will be important. And the fact that he is working extra time after practice tells me he knows what his role is going to have to be, how important it is, and what he can do to keep up with it is just as important.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. You are, of course, listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here with you on a beautiful but hot Thursday morning. This is WGR.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.